before I start the message, I'm going to go over the quarter report, JSDM's first ever quarter report. Just going to kind of go over that before we start. Starting from April, May, and June, covers the second quarter of 2008. And this is the first time we're doing this at JSDM. If you've been at churches back in the States, financially transparent, probably familiar with this. If you're a pastor here, I just want to go ahead and talk about how we did these last 3 months and just kind of cast a little vision for how God's going to lead us, how we hope God will lead us into the next quarter. All right, so as you know, in May, April, Pastor Sam, who was the lead pastor at JSDM for 2 years, he left to go back to the States. I mean, he left to go to the States, not go back. He's from India. And he went to the States, and he's lived there. Hallelujah, Pastor Sam, hope you're doing well. I don't know if you're listening to this podcast. Praise the Lord. We're praying for you. And so, starting from May, April was a transition time where Pastor Sam and I were sharing leadership, and then May, he was already gone, so under the new leadership was May and June, so that picks up the first quarter. And you know that during that time was a time of transition, and I believe that by God's grace and through the fasting and prayers of many people at this church, we were able to come through that transition in a way where, you know, transitions can break down a church. You can even destroy a church. But when it's placed into the hands of God, transitions can lift up a church. Amen? And what we saw during this quarter, a lot of good things. And that's not how we try to see this transition. At a time where God can really prune this church to make it more fruitful. So if you look on the quarter report, look on the executive summary side, the one with the words. Hallelujah. Alright, so two main things that do want to point out is our prayer movement. You know that our church is a church that we're trying to build on a house of prayer for all nations. And we have Friday Fire prayer meetings. And we also started something new called Sunday Swim. Sunday Swim, we started it and it was just about 10 people, grew to about 20 consistently throughout the month of April, throughout the month of May. And then right when we hit the first Sunday in June, we were praying for this, it doubled. So we hit over 40, and we're trying to hallelujah, sustain that at 40. But that means that out of a congregation of about 100 that show up each week, we have 40% of the congregation. That's almost half the congregation coming out to prayer on Sunday mornings. And that's awesome. I think that's really an indication that our church is really seeing this church. We want to see this church grow. We believe that it must be done through the hands of God. As the Lord builds this house, this labor is labor today. Amen? So I just want to encourage everyone to just continue to pray on your own. Also, you can come out to our Sunday morning prayer meetings. It starts at 11 a.m. It's called Sunday Swim. Please join us. We want to pray with you. We want to pray together. And we want this not to just be a one-month thing, but this needs to be a continuous habit that's built into this church. As long as we keep calling on the Lord, there's a promise that He will answer. But the moment we stop calling, that's when we're left out onto our own. You know, we don't have a promise to hold on to then. We need to, as a church, continue to call out to the Lord. Friday Fire, it's like a little mini revival we have each week. Hallelujah, God does different things each week. And, you know, that's where the anointing is continuing to flow. The fire of the Lord is being manifest into the hearts of various people. This past Friday, we had our first guest speaker come in from another church. This is a new pastor, English ministry pastor at Olady. And praise the Lord, God has been opening up a wonderful door. He's been really orchestrating things. And He's been forming a beautiful relationship between Him and myself. myself and also the leadership here. And so he came, he spoke, Brother Herman, you know, he comes out Friday Fire, this is winter, and he's from Australia. He led worship. He just wrote a new song called Victory, and it sounded like something Hillsong United wrote. I don't know, Australia's got that like songwriting anointing right now. And it was just powerful. It was a really good anointing song. And Herman, I don't know if you're listening, but I already told him actually that I saw a vision of it being sung to the nations. And it was just a wonderful time on Friday. It was just a glimpse of how our Friday Fire has been. And hallelujah. And we hope to see that Friday Fire continue to be a blessing to this church and also to other churches. Hallelujah. And what we're doing right now, we're envisioning that the prayer movement would actually manifest across different churches in this city. So we're praying actually that English ministry churches would start to come together and start to pray together. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we've been praying for that for a year and a half now. And it was amazing. I had dinner with Pastor Eddie from Wondery the other day. And right before Friday Fire, we had dinner. And he mentioned that like it was like a new idea. It was like, yeah, you know, we were hoping to rent out a big venue and invite all the English ministry churches, not for a Good Friday service, not for Christmas service, but for a prayer meeting, for revival, for us to really pray together. And hallelujah. And I was just like, Pastor Eddie, you took the words right out of my mouth. Hallelujah. Right out of my spirit. That's exactly what God's been pressing upon my heart. And we know that's God. Hallelujah. When he starts to independently confirm it in different people. So we believe that's really close. Pastor David also really excited about such a vision. And so this is a really exciting time. This is something that personally I haven't seen in the New York area. It's a lot harder to bring together churches like that. But yeah, hallelujah, God's doing that here in Seoul. And we believe that he's moving in this way to bring a revival for his nation. We're not just talking about South Korea. We talk about North Korea as well. We believe that the revival is going to flow. It's going to be like a tsunami. It's just going to cover over this entire peninsula. Hallelujah. That's the prayer movement. Financial stewardship at our church went from an average of about 8,000. And we're specifically praying for this. The Holy Spirit put this on our hearts. And we doubled in the last 2 months to 15,593. Hallelujah. Alright, that's close to double. If you do your math, that's pretty close. That's pretty close. Hallelujah. But we're really encouraged by the giving here at this church. It's not like, you know, we got a couple of millionaires in here. Alright, they're not, everyone's got hagwon jobs, or a lot of you are students. You know, you put in your wonchon, you put in your mana, and that hurts you. Can't eat your donkatsu that day or something. You know, you have to borrow money from people and stuff. You know? But that's the price you're willing to pay to give toward the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. You know, it's a tithe, that's the minimum. Hallelujah. Don't talk to me about the tithe, alright? There's no sacrifice there. That's just God's 10%. We need to give to the Lord's what is the Lord's. Hallelujah. Alright? And but we, as a church, we have governed the financial stewardship. So yeah, that's what these numbers are about back here. If you look at total giving for the month of April, May, and June, it's steadily increased. And we hope to see continually stewardship of the church continue to increase. Hallelujah. And I think those are two very substantial ways in which we're seeing our church grow, as well as spiritually. You know, two maturity, character ways in which our church is growing. Hallelujah. All right, we need this substance in order to build up leadership here that can sustain church growth here that will reach into nations. Hallelujah. So, there's church attendance there. Our attendance Sunday worship has been about the same. It's kind of like up, down, back up. No, it's about the same. All right, as you know, right now they're saying that our church has a 130 limit. There's a limit, I think, that churches experience. It's usually like 130, then it's a 500. And then it's 1,000, and then it jumps to like 5,000. I don't know why. Once you get up to that kind of growth, usually the momentum just carries the church growth. I mean, churches grow, you know, exponentially once they get there. But we're still at the 130 limit. Hallelujah. And we're thankful that we're not at like the 25 limit. Hallelujah, you know? But we're at the 130 limit. That's where we are. And we're praying that our church will pay the cost. And our church will rise up with maturity to get past that 130 limit. To really pray. So that God will lift us up past the 130 movement. And we believe believe that our God's going to do that. So we want to receive this church reach the nations. Now, if you turn over, our stewardship to our missions has been increasing. That money, our church doesn't see. We just automatically transfer it into the missions accounts of different people that you check off. And that's, I think, also a blessing to see that the church is giving toward missions, as well as we're seeing overall stewardship grow. Hallelujah. If you turn over to this page, hallelujah, to the color page. All right, come on, stay with me. All right, hallelujah. This is part of the sermon today. All right, so you need to listen. Hallelujah. This is part of church. This is a part of our community. All right, so this is not just, I don't care about numbers. I'm not good with numbers. All right, let's look at these numbers. Hallelujah. All right, we look at the expenses. All right, hallelujah. You notice that we don't continually pay Pastor Sam, but he's not here with us anymore. Hallelujah. All right, so that's why you see zero there. All right. Hallelujah. And that's the salaries there for the church. All right. Do you feel like that's uncomfortable for Brian and Mina, for you guys to see their salary? And Josephine, it probably is uncomfortable right now. All right, hallelujah. Get uncomfortable. All right, get over. Okay. Our refreshments, hallelujah. As refreshments are always refreshments. Our car van, which we haven't been using that much, we put a lot of money toward that van and the office rent. If you look down to mission support, you can see, once again, I'm not a full-time pastor here. I'm here serving on a part-time basis. I probably end up doing full-time work, but I don't take a salary here. But the church does support me because I'm a Campus Crusade staff. They continue to support me as a missionary. Right, so that's mission support. And we also support John Michael, which is something that we really stand behind that brother and what he's doing for Orphanage Ministry. Hallelujah. And we give 70 to MPWN. And that money goes toward helping out a pastor in the native countries, MPWN Network. Yeah. And, we also gave for Myanmar Relief, gave for Philippines Youth Conference, and love offering for Pastor Joseph's trip. We go down to miscellaneous.
Yeah.
Go down to computers, office setup. That was a one-time cost. You won't see that on a monthly basis. That was to set up the office that we have right now in Mako. Hallelujah. And everything else is pretty self-explanatory. Alright, praise the Lord. So our church, you notice that our church is a church where people come and go. And you might not like it, you might like it, or you may not like it. You may like it. People who go are people who go, and you really want to see them go. And then there's people that you really don't want to see go, And when they leave, it breaks your heart. Right? You notice our church is a church that where people come and go. And that's kind of the nature of English ministry here in Korea. We believe it's changing. We believe that God's bringing a bit more stability. A lot more people are staying here in a longer term. But I believe that God has designed this church that way. And I think there's blessings, there's challenges with that, but I believe there's blessings with it as well. That it keeps our church focused on the relationship rather than on relationships. A lot of churches got it the other way around, where churches are about relationships. When friends leave that church, you leave that church. And it's all about the relationships of that church. The relationships are important, community is important, but the relationship, that's the primary focus where our hearts need to be. And we believe that JSCM, God's shaping this church to be a church about the relationships. First, hallelujah, rather than just relationships. Hallelujah. And we believe that this church is more about giving rather than receiving. All right? One thing, when people come and go, you don't want to, when you give toward a friend or you give toward a newcomer and you build this relationship and it becomes this great mutual blessing, and all of a sudden they leave. And they do it quickly too. But they just, I don't like my husband anymore. I'm out. Peace. And you get all heartbroken. Well, through that, I believe that God's teaching this church to be a giving church. Freely you have received, freely give, Jesus. And that's something that a lot of churches learn that lesson. We're here at this church. We get plenty of opportunities to learn that lesson. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? We need to give, people. We need to give. Hallelujah. You know, our brother Dave, he wrote a play all about that. You guys check that out. Hallelujah. Two Saturdays from now. It's going to be a wonderful creative arts ministry. They're going to put together a wonderful evening of special presentations that God's going to anoint to speak to the church. But we need to be a giving church, and I believe that's something that God's telling us. And I believe right now the pattern is people, when they leave, they usually go back home. I believe in a couple years from now, we're going to see more people that leave, but it won't be to go back home. It'll be to go into the nations. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to see more and more of that. Hallelujah. Because God's going to raise up only Jubilee and other English ministry churches in this city. He's going to raise up JACM to be a church that's a sending church.
Amen.
So, any questions about the quarterly report? You can actually ask questions right now. And, I'll take some questions. If there are none, I'm going to go ahead and close it and start my message. Questions? Alright, this is my first time doing this. Hallelujah, right? I haven't been a pastor before. I'm just trying my best. Alright, is that okay with y'all?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm just trying my best. Hallelujah. Are there any questions? I'm waiting 7 seconds. That's what they teach you in small group discussion leadership training. So you wait 7 seconds after you ask a question. Embrace the awkwardness. Wait 7 seconds. That's about the average time people need to, in order to respond. People, for the first 3 seconds, they're like, should I say something? Okay, something's coming. All right, let's just say that. Okay, 5 seconds, 6 seconds. Okay, all right, here it comes. Okay. If you guys have any questions, you let me know. If you don't, you can always ask me a little bit later as well. All right, so our church, we going in to take the possession of the promised land. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. With the spirit of Caleb. Hallelujah. Amen. Like the church in Antioch, our church is going to grow. Amen?
Amen.
And you know, if you want the small church feeling and you don't want to lose that, I'm telling you, we're going to keep it. And we're going to keep that small church feeling. Hallelujah. I mean, there'll be ways to do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I haven't figured it out yet. Church is going to grow. Alright, amen. Alright, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 through 19. Hallelujah. Let's look at our passage today. Word of God says, let's read that together. 1, 2, 3. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Stop. Amen. The spirit of wisdom and revelation. You know, a lot of times people think of wisdom, they think of it as teaching. They think of wisdom as information, lessons, things that are written down on paper. But wisdom's more than that. Hallelujah. There is a spirit of wisdom that the Word of God talks about. If you look back in Deuteronomy chapter 34, when Moses was about to be at the end of his life, he laid hands on Joshua. And verse 9 of Deuteronomy 34 says, now Joshua was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. That means that a spirit of wisdom can be imparted through the laying on of hands. Through impartation. That's telling you, you know, it's not like Moses was like laying on of hands. It's like, Joshua, you gotta do this, you gotta do that, you gotta do this, you gotta do that, you gotta do this, you gotta do that, you gotta do this and that. And Joshua received wisdom. No. That was just the laying on of hands, and there's a spirit of wisdom that Joshua received. From that moment on, he was now the leader of Israel. And as a people of God, we got to seek the spirit of wisdom. According to Proverbs, the opposite of wisdom is what? Foolishness. Hallelujah. Thank you. Foolishness. Turn to your neighbor and say, I don't need your foolishness.
I don't need your foolishness.
Excuse me?
to operate in a spirit of foolishness, but a spirit of wisdom. Amen? Man, but it's so easy, right, to just be foolish. Right? You don't have to try that hard. Some people it's easier than others. But the Word of God says wisdom is better than gold. Hallelujah. Wisdom extends into many areas of our life. Wisdom helps us to understand God's Word. Not understand it, but apply God's Word. Wisdom keeps us from perverse ways. Wisdom helps us to preach the gospel. Wisdom also helps us to be tactful and prudent. Hallelujah. Lord knows I need a lot more of that. Wisdom, the Bible says, is a shield. Hallelujah. It's like a protection. You got wisdom, it's going to protect you. Hallelujah. Solomon knew this. That's why he asked God for one thing when he became king. He didn't ask for riches, for women, for palaces, for land. He asked God for wisdom. He knew that wisdom is so important, that it's better than rubies or gold. But the question is, how do you get wisdom? How do you get wisdom? If you look at James 1:5, the Word of God says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously. Hallelujah. Yeah, you notice that. You ask God for wisdom, God's not going to be stingy. You ask God for wisdom, God's not going to be like, oh, okay. It's about time you ask for wisdom. Just operate that spirit of foolishness. Ran away from your mama's beatings. Now look at you. I'm going to just give you a little bit of who you hate. I've been asking you. God's not stingy when it comes to giving, right? You ask God for wisdom. The Bible says He gives generously. Hallelujah. He gives generously to all without finding fault. It will be given to him. Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom. Turn to your neighbor and says, only God can grant you wisdom.
Only God can grant you wisdom. All of you.
Hallelujah. And wisdom doesn't just come in one way, like Moses and Joshua. Like, woo, wisdom, I'm speaking today. There's an impartation ministry. But God also employs other ways in which He grants you wisdom. Wisdom can come from just reading the Word of God. Amen? Wisdom can come from a spiritual mentor who's not teaching you out of books, but out of life. You know what else can teach you about wisdom? You can get wisdom through suffering. Some people know what I'm talking about. You go through some hard time, that'll teach you some wisdom. God can also teach you wisdom through obedience. You just obey, and the wisdom just starts to come. And make things seem to make sense. You can get wisdom from a rebuke. You gotta, but make no mistake about it, it is God alone who grants wisdom. You know, two people can go through the same exact experiences, but they will be drastically different if God grants one person wisdom and not the other. Your circumstances don't determine whether you get wisdom or not. It's how you respond in those circumstances. How do you pray? Those circumstances. And as a people of God, we must not only seek wisdom, but we need to seek a spirit of wisdom. Hallelujah. You know, at any given moment, a person can be filled with lots of knowledge and wisdom and still not operate in the spirit of wisdom. You ever meet people like that? They full of all this kind of information. And what they're saying is good. What they're saying is good. And they have all this wisdom and knowledge, but they don't have a spirit of wisdom. They can say it, they can talk it, but they don't know how to walk it. They can tell you about it, but they don't know how to really get you to do it. You can have wisdom, but not have a spirit of wisdom. To have a spirit of wisdom is to cherish wisdom, to walk in its ways. You know, come think about it. If you got all the wisdom in the world, but you're not walking in it, you might be the biggest fool in the world. There are some smart people. I They're the biggest fools in the eyes of God. Think about it. The Pharisees had all kinds of learning, education. Hallelujah. They knew all of God's laws. They had all that wisdom and knowledge. But they did not have a spirit of wisdom. In the eyes of Jesus, we know how he thought about the Pharisees. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He still does that today. Hallelujah. Now Joshua was filled with the spirit of wisdom, and he led Israel in this spirit for most of his reign. Solomon was also filled with wisdom, but Solomon did not have the spirit of wisdom. I'm sorry. Okay? Solomon received a lot of wisdom, but he didn't have the spirit of wisdom. I'll tell you why. You know how I know why? Because he had 700 wives, that's why. And 300 concubines. Alright, I'm about to get married to one. I got my hands full. Hallelujah. I mean, marriage is tough. I don't understand what Solomon was doing. 700 wives? That's just foolishness. That is not the spirit of wisdom. You know what? Unfortunately, his many foreign wives led him astray to idols, where God clearly forbid intermarrying with different women of different religions. Solomon had all the wisdom in the world, but didn't have the spirit of wisdom. He didn't continually surrender and submit to that spirit of wisdom. So what did he do? He went and married all these wives and led the whole kingdom of God, not the kingdom, the whole kingdom of Israel astray. Hallelujah. And then the Lord raised up men. Lord raised up men to rebel and tear a kingdom out of Solomon's hands. Brothers and sisters, as a people of God, we need to seek wisdom and we need to seek the spirit of wisdom. What is the spirit of wisdom? Isaiah 11:2 says, "The spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding." What is the spirit of wisdom? I'll tell you who it is. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the spirit of wisdom. Amen? Amen. You get filled with the Holy Spirit and you surrender and you walk in the spirit, you will be walking in the spirit of wisdom. You got to get filled with the Spirit. You got to learn how to walk in the filling of the Spirit. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, the Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit of wisdom. And we need to learn how to get familiar with Him and relate to Him and be continually surrendered and be filled by Him. A people of God not only need the spirit of wisdom, but they also need the spirit of revelation. What's the difference? Proverbs 29:18 in the NIV says, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Blessed is he who keeps the law." In the King James Version, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." This Hebrew word, chazon. Somebody know Hebrew? Is that accurate? Chazon. It means a sight, a mental sight, a dream, a revelation, an oracle, a vision. Without a fresh revelation of God, people perish. People go astray. People backslide without a revelation of God. You can know the Word of God really well, but without revelation, you're going to start to stray. Without knowing that God is speaking into your circumstances and cares and is leading you regarding the details of your life, without that revelation about your job, about your future marriage, about your ministry, without that revelation, man, people go astray. We see it all the time. Men of God who have great maturity, character, who've been in the ministry for many years, when they lose their vision, when they don't have the revelation, they start to go astray. Hallelujah. And revelation is more than just seeking information from the Bible, from our church, or about our future. Revelation is about seeking the knowledge of God. And this knowledge of God is twofold. First, it is about knowing God in relationship. Hallelujah. The word of God said today, I pray that you may be filled with the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that what? So that you may know him better. Knowledge of God is twofold. One is knowledge in relationship, knowing God in relationship. You know, hallelujah. I could read all these books about Aaron. I say Aaron wrote a whole bunch of books, biography or something. I could read all that stuff, and I still not have no clue about how to relate to her. If I don't have that kind of knowledge. It's a different kind of knowledge. It's like that relationship knowing knowledge. And then two, it's about knowing God in the secrets of his kingdom plans. The secrets of his kingdom plans. You know, information is dead, but revelation is alive. Information is dead, but revelation is alive. Information drives legalism. Revelation awakens grace. Information is filled or is vulnerable to the devil's lies. But revelation is filled with God's power and God's truth. Information results in religion and religious spirits. Revelation relates to relationship. I'm trying to paint a picture about what revelation is. But it's just mini revelation. Many theologians today, they know the scriptures thoroughly. But they don't know God very well. Some perhaps, they don't even know him at all. They have lots of information, but little or no revelation. And this is exactly what happened in 1 Samuel 3:1. The word of God says, the word of the Lord, the revelation of the Lord was rare in those days. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. That's right before our brother, our prophet Samuel comes onto the scene. Hallelujah. Yeah? Hallelujah. Man, when you got revelation, man, let me just really preach. When you got revelation, man, you make a plan. All right, but it's not you making the plan, it's God revealing the plan. And then you obey the plan and it succeeds. You're like, man, I could believe God for 2,000. But then God gives you 10,000. All right, that's a revelation. All right, you're confused about, there's like five good choices. Hallelujah. But God's revelation will lead you to one. And when you choose that one, he'll confirm it. Now, that's revelation. Revelation is powerful. And we're, man, people need revelation. You know, back in 1 Samuel chapter 3, they had the Old Testament, they had the words of God as well. But what was happening was there was no widespread revelation. Revelation leads to biblical faith and true change in people's lives. Revelation is the only true knowledge of God. Everything else just falls under information. And that's why the Holy Spirit today moves through the gift of prophecy. Amen. The gift of prophecy, or any kind of prophetic gift, keeps the fresh wind of the Holy Spirit blowing across God's people. It brings that fresh revelation of God about what goals to set next, what strategies to follow, what leaders to anoint. That's all about revelation and the prophetic gifts. Hallelujah. It needs to be restored to the church today. The spirit of revelation comes to the church through the gift of prophecy. There's one way in which it comes to the church. And many people in the church today, they fear prophecy. That's one of the most controversial of the gifts, right? Opponents of the gift of prophecy, they say that the compilation, the canonization of the Bible, since the canonization of the Bible, there are now no more prophets or the gift of prophecy. They say the word of God is sufficient. And therefore, we don't need prophets for a gift of prophecy anymore. Therefore, God has ceased it. And then what they do is, then they start to point out guys like Charles T. Russell, who started the little that church down the street, the Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, do you guys know there's a Jehovah's Witness church right there? And they're probably 10 times more devoted than we are? Oh, yeah. I don't know if that's true. That's a bad case statement. I think that's right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. or they point out men like Joseph Smith, who started Mormonism, or Mary Baker Eddy, who started Christian Science, which is not Christian at all. Now, man, that's straight from the pits of hell, what she teaches. Anyway, all these other kinds of false religions were started by so-called prophets. So people who oppose the gift of prophecy say, look at this! Look at all these cults that rise up! Look at all this danger that comes from opening ourselves up to the gift of prophecy and to the office of prophets. Look, there just isn't any. Just look at the Word of God, and it's sufficient. And because of these false workings of the enemy, we want to throw it out altogether. Sadly, these same people are also misreading the same Bible that they are vehemently emphasizing. If you look in the Word of God, they're not considering what the Bible really says about prophecy and the nature of how God has used prophecy throughout the ages. Look with me to Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Amos chapter 3, verse 7 says, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. And some people say, well, that's in the Old Testament, that's in the Old Testament days, it's a New Testament, a New Age, that stuff's all done away with. I don't know about that. Because if you look in the Old Testament, go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Let's read that together. Everybody, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. If you look in verses 1 through 20, there's this guy named Jehoshaphat. Everybody say Jehoshaphat.
Is it possible to speak
in Hebrew? I don't know what.
If you look at verse 5, it says, then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem in the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people, Israel, and give it forever to your descendants of Abraham, your friend? Alright, hallelujah. And then you look all the way down to verse 14. And it says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon another guy named Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, and son of all those other dudes. And he stood in the assembly, and then he said, Jehoshaphat's the king, by the way. He says, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Hallelujah. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge of the desert of Zeruiah. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. This guy, Jahaziel, never wrote a book in the Bible. He prophesied, and God used him as a prophet, yet he never wrote a book in the Bible. But you can see clearly here that God used him in a powerful way to win the battle for Israel. Look at verse 20 there with me. 2 Chronicles 20:20. It says, listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. This guy Jehaziel never had a book in the Bible because God didn't choose him in that way. God chose Isaiah that way. God chose Jeremiah that way. God chose Amos that way. But God did not choose Jehaziel that way. But still God used him in the gift of prophecy. Still God used him with the spirit of prophecy. And filled him with the Holy Spirit. And the things he spoke, when Israel obeyed, they were successful. Hallelujah. Which tells me, that prophecy is not just one rigid kind of prophecy. The kind of prophecy that if you are wrong in that prophecy, you get stoned to death prophecy. Because there is a prophecy that comes inspired by God to be the written word of God. And then there is a prophecy that is spoken for that situation. And then it's fulfilled and it's done. Hallelujah. I'm not good at explaining this. Hallelujah. And I admit, I'll be humble. Right? I don't have an expository way of, it's not my, both of my intention to go off on this persuasion tangent. Hallelujah. But I feel like I didn't preach. Hallelujah. Jaaziah was called a prophet. And you know what? I believe God still employs guys like Jaaziah. And if only churches would heed this passage here in verse 20 and have faith in God's prophets today, then they would know that it is for their benefit and success that God speaks into their specific situations. Now, I might not have an expository way to persuade you right now, but man, let me tell you from my personal testimony. Okay? I would not have come to Korea if it was not for the gift of prophecy and the prophetic revelation that I received from my mentor, Brother Michael. I would not have met my fiancé, Aaron, if it was not for the revelation of God. Or maybe I would have. Hallelujah, but maybe I wouldn't have taken the steps that I did. Because I had the confirmation of the Lord God was giving me the blessing to take this step at this stage and then that step at that stage. I'm not saying everything I did was perfect. I know some of the moves I made because God was speaking revelation into my situations. The way I'm leading this church right now, you might think, oh, you know, Christian has crazy ideas. Hallelujah. Oh, call them crazy. I believe that they're coming as a download from the Holy Spirit. All right, if you look at certain churches are at 100 for the rest of their entire existence until Jesus returns. And you know what? They don't. They help a few people here and there for different seasons, but they don't really advance the kingdom of God. They don't really do things that reflect the glory of God. And then you got churches like Brooklyn Tabernacle, hallelujah. And you got churches like Lakewood. As much as y'all might hate on Joel Osteen, God is using him in a powerful way right now. And I see the Spirit of the Lord upon him. And he moves and he speaks. He doesn't emphasize everything thoroughly and balanced, but God's using it in a mighty way. You know why you guys give me your frowns and stares? But I cannot deny that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You know why he's experiencing such success? It's not just because he's, you know, preaching down the gospel without mentioning, you know, the hard stuff. Which, you know, I believe that he needs to. You know, he needs to preach the hard stuff. I see his daily email. He does mention the hard stuff as well. But you know, he tries to market himself to a wider audience. But I believe the real reason why, because there's people who do that, who have that kind of watered-down gospel, but their churches aren't succeeding like Joel Osteen's church. You know why Joel Osteen's church is succeeding the way it is? Because he's moving revelation. Because God's given specific revelation about, I want you to start praying about the contact center. What? That's like me going down the street one day passing by World Cup Stadium. God's like, I want you to pray for World Cup Stadium. That's going to be the new location of JSCN. I'm like, what? What? That'd be crazy. That's the kind of stuff that God spoke to him. And then when he took the steps, you know what happened? He didn't get confirmation. He got opposition. There was a man in the city, we used to work in the city for the government, who started legal lawsuits. He had two lawsuits he had to deal with. But they tried to stop the church from taking over the contact center. Hallelujah. And you know what, Jerome Steen? He was about to quit. Because it's not worth it. Let's just go the safe route, go the traditional route. Who has ever heard of a church taking over a major stadium as their own building? But see, God was giving him revelation. Don't you quit him. Stay in faith. And God delivered him out of every one of those lawsuits. And God showed him favor. Hallelujah. And as he followed the revelation that God was revealing, and I don't know who he's surrounded with, but I'm sure there are people that are around him encouraging him with the words of revelation. But don't get discouraged, Pastor Joel Osteen. Hallelujah. And God is showing him success. And for all those hating churches that criticize him, you know what? At least Joel Osteen's reaching a lot more people than they are. They're using all that energy to criticize him. But Joel Osteen is reaching people. And if you go to his church, Pastor Sam told me he went to that church. The people there, they're not living watered down lives. They're living holy lives. You saw Israel Houghton come to Korea. God's using him to reach the whole nation. Hallelujah. Well, he is the worship leader at that church. Because the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon him. And I saw that brother leading worship. Man, he's anointed. That's the Spirit of the Lord. That's not just musical gifts. You know? Whoa! Yeah, you can impress me, man. I've seen some really talented people lead worship. And I don't get a drop of God's Spirit flowing to me. But then, no. God's an Israel. Man, he got the gifts, the musical gifts and the anointing. Hallelujah. All right, I'm going way too off. I'm dealing with too many people who have their own opinions. Hallelujah. And that's okay. That's all right. All right. For JSM to go forward, we don't need everybody to agree about everything about everybody. Hallelujah. All right, we agree. Hallelujah. All right, I don't know where to go with it. Hallelujah. I'm the pastor of this church. I'm still learning. I'm getting married next week. I got a lot of weight on my shoulders, all right? I'm going through a lot. I'm just trying to forgive me if I'm all over the place today. And the one thing I'm about to get to prophecy is, in the Old Testament, when the spirit of prophecy came upon a person, it would be done in the sovereign act of God. God would sovereignly choose people, and they would get, all of a sudden, they would start to prophesy. And Moses, when he saw this, he complained to God once. And he was like, I wish that everybody would prophesy like I can. What Moses didn't know was even that complaint, that voicing of that concern, was actually a prophetic concern. Because later on, hallelujah, the irony is, after the cross of Christ, two key prophecies were fulfilled. Ezekiel chapter 36 and Joel chapter 2, verse 20 and 29. And now God's Spirit is poured out on all flesh. On all believers in Christ. Hallelujah. Thus, the spirit of prophecy doesn't just come sovereignly in isolated spots anymore. It is available to all the true believers of Christ. And if you believe the cessationist argument, then that means you believe that this prophecy was fulfilled in Acts chapter 2 and was fulfilled for the lifetime of the apostles, and that when they died, the prophecy was done, is completed then. I mean, if you want to believe that, you can believe that. But I don't believe that. I believe that it started being fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. And when you pour, when God pours, all right, he doesn't just pour and then stop pouring. No, I won't pour that whole cup. I'm telling you, when God pours, I will demonstrate. He doesn't just keep on pouring. And I believe with this prophecy in Joel chapter 2, he started pouring in Acts 2, and he's been pouring throughout the ages, and he's still pouring right now, and he's pouring out with greater measure in the last days. Amen. Because in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will what? Will prophesy. Even on maidservants and men servants, those of lower class, I will pour out my spirit. Brothers and sisters, I don't have a good expository argument. I'm just preaching out of my faith. And I believe that, hallelujah, the gift of prophecy is for today. And I believe it's crucial for people of God and as a church of God in order to really experience the success of God, the gospel going out to the nations, with authority and power. We need this revelation. We don't need good ideas, man. Plenty of people got good ideas. And they fail all the time. But when you follow the revelation of God, oh, hallelujah, you marry women like this. Hallelujah. Woo! Look at her. That's the revelation of God right there. Woo! Hallelujah. Beautiful, inside and out. Thank you. Just fulfill that prophecy. Hallelujah. A couple of my New York brothers, they know what I'm talking about. The Word of God says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly. And the King James Version says, covet to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak in tongues. A people of God ought to seek a spirit of revelation. And one way to do so is by nurturing the gift of prophecy in our congregation. If you've ever had someone with the gift of prophecy pray over you, I want you to be very careful with what you do with those words. Your spirit will usually confirm whether they are the words of God, and your mind will identify how those words ought to edify you. But when you're not sure, you do need to test the prophetic word. You want to test the spirits, the Word of God says. If a person comes up to you and says, man, I'll tell you right now, man, it happens all the time. I'll tell you right now. Because, you know, when you start opening yourself up to all these spiritual gifts and all the pouring out of God's Spirit, you believe that stuff is still for today, your eyes start getting open to what God's doing in the nations. Man, I'll tell you, I mean, it's trippy, man. I was at a conference a couple weeks ago. My students know what I'm talking about. And one of the students from L.A., she came up to me, and she's like, she took my spiritual warfare seminar. And she's like, you know, I was like, can you pray for me? I mean, I'm a Christian, can you pray for me? And I was like, what's up? And she's like, well, I was on my campus one day, and we were praying together. And then this one girl says she had to get the prophecy, and then she starts to prophesy and says, oh yeah, right there, receive it! And then I start speaking in tongues. I didn't feel safe. I didn't feel peace. I felt very, very uncomfortable. But then, because she said it, and I believe she had the gift of prophecy, I just believed that I had the gift of tongue. I was praying in prayer language. And then, what's funny is that same week, I went to campus, and while I was walking around campus, some random man came up to me and said, I got the gift of prophecy, and I can see that you are speaking in tongues. Use it. And then he said all this other stuff that I forgot. And she'd come up to me, and she was so discouraged. And what she was so discouraged and confused was because she wanted to submit and surrender to the word of prophecy. Because if it was coming from God, obviously you want to submit to it. But what she was failing to do was she was failing to test the spirit of the two people that just spoke to her. You see, you are never to despise the word of prophecy, but you are to test the spirit by which that person is prophesying. Alright. So if a person prophesies over you, you need to test the spirits. If your spirit, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Alright, you have to not underestimate your discernment. Alright. So that girl was feeling guilty. I don't know if I should question what God said. She felt real guilty. That was the devil accusing her. Don't you question the word of God. I'm sorry, actually some people asked me to stop doing that. Some people actually got scared by my on the dramatization of love. I did deliverance ministry, so you know, I come across this association of love. So I should be liable. That's serious stuff. Right? You have a real enemy. Right? But yeah, where were we at? Yeah, so yeah, we've got to test the spirit. The Bible says test the spirits. But if indeed it is the Holy Spirit, you feel like, who is speaking that word, then the Word of God says, 1 Thessalonians 5:19-20, do not quench the Spirit and do not despise prophecies. Hallelujah. So if God starts to speak into your life and He says, I want you to take that step of faith, and you just, I don't know, that's tough. Lord, I don't want that. Deal with your sin issues. Stop going to those places. Stop getting involved with those friends. But Lord, I love my friends. No. Do not despise
prophecy, brothers and sisters.
Man, that means, man, you gotta think about it. Man, just logically, even 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 and 20. Man, you gotta think about it. If the Apostle Paul is teaching, do not despise prophecies, and he has in mind that the gift of prophecy ends when he dies, that means just this teaching, he just had in mind, actually, when I die, you don't need to ignore this teaching, because prophetic gifts will be all gone. That don't make no sense to me. I believe that God was speaking through him to speak to future generations. Now, do not despise prophecies. You know, tomorrow, got a friend flying in. Hallelujah. Some of you guys know about her. She's a Philly friend that I reunited with here in Korea about 3 years ago. She went back to the States to study at Gordon Conwell. And she's coming. She's real excited. She moves in the gift of prophecy. So if you're doubting and you just want to see it, you've never seen it or experienced it, okay, you can come out to Friday Fire this week. Because this Friday she's going to minister next week. And hallelujah. We're going to record what she prays over different people. Right, so that you can take it home. You can download that joint. Hallelujah. If it's real private, we'll take it off the podcast. But yeah. Now, I can't get her to pray for everybody this Friday. Hallelujah. Because she needs to pray for me. we're just going to follow the anointing. Alright? So the Holy Spirit knows who needs the words. Alright, I'm sure he wants to minister to everybody, but it'll be done maybe in the following weeks. He'll be here for more weeks. Alright? So if you doubt it, you've never seen an operation, you want to experience, you want to see a demonstration, you can come out on Friday. We'll see how the Holy Spirit moves. The Holy Spirit, man, you don't have to do anything this Friday. You can just be like, you know what? Nothing. Everybody, devote yourselves more to my word. Now, it could be something like that. Or, you know, if you guys have never really surrendered before the Lord, God will start to speak specifically to your situation. You going through some hard time, your family member went through a hard time, you losing hope, God will speak words of hope to you. Your faith will come alive. Hallelujah. You're not sure about that big career decision or some business plan that you have, God will speak into that situation. If you're surrendered before him, he will speak. Even if you're not surrendered, God will just, sometimes he'll just speak to you. That's on Friday. Hallelujah. So we got some back-to-back power action going on Friday. Fire. Hallelujah. So if you can't come out at 8 p.m., then quit your job. No, I'm just playing. Don't do it. Okay, I'll take that back. Okay. That's a prophetic word telling you that. If God says something like that, and actually, funny thing is, man, we help people with deliverance ministry, and we just saw two cases just this past winter. And the first thing the devil told both people, right? You know, I am the voice of God. Quit your job. That was the first thing they said. All right, hallelujah. So it seems like the devil, he loves that trick. He loves to say that first. He wants to destroy you, so he gets you off of the job that you have right now. So he can, you know, open you up to more attempts. Hallelujah. So if you feel like God's telling you quit your job, make sure you get double confirmation. Hallelujah. And then make sure you ask your spiritual authorities, your leadership here at this church. And see what they say. They're confirming if it's from God or not. You know what I'm saying? So, turn back with me to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm just going to close here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 to 19. Actually, we're going to read it to the end of the chapter this time. Alright, I'll read verse 17, you read the next verse. 1, 2, 3. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better.
I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened,
and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come.
The
And all together, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Amen. It says the church, which is his body. Hallelujah. You know, a couple months ago, I did preach a message on the kingdom of God, and I believe we need to seek the kingdom of God first. And I believe that there's truth in that message about the kingdom. Hallelujah. That's really important. But you know, in the weeks since then, God's also been teaching me about the church. And what is the significance of the church, the institution of the church? What does that look like? What is it about? Because right now, you know, there's a big controversy going on with the simple church movement. All right, hallelujah. And I'm just trying to see both sides right now, and I'm still not at any conclusion. But hallelujah. But I just wanted to admit that when I preached that message on the kingdom, I didn't know everything I was talking about regarding the church. And I might have preached it in such a way where I was almost like despising the institution of the church. Okay, but I want to say that I was wrong, that I admit that I was wrong, that if I came off that way, then I'm wrong. I don't know if I came off that way. I don't know if I said it explicitly, but if I did, then I'm wrong. Hallelujah. And as God teaches me about the church, remember, I'm new at this. Alright, all I really did was campus ministry. I was part of churches, but I never pastored a church. Alright, so I'm new at this. I'm not excusing myself. I am admitting that I was wrong. As God teaches me about church, I'm going to preach on the church and passages about the church. And I believe that's why God brings Pastor David, Pastor Eddie into my life, that I can learn about the church. Hallelujah. And the church is the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And there's different ways to look at that. And I want to bring a healthy view, all right, into this church. Hallelujah. So I do want to go off on that tangent and admit that, hallelujah, I don't want to abuse the pulpit. I don't want to just come off dogmatic. I want to preach with authority. I want to preach with boldness. I don't want to be dogmatic about things that I don't actually really know. But hallelujah, going back to our message today, spirit of wisdom and revelation. Hallelujah. Wisdom and revelation. Wisdom and revelation. Wisdom, the spirit of wisdom, that you may know wisdom, but also apply wisdom. And stay in the path of wisdom. Hallelujah. But also the spirit of revelation, that you may look to the Lord for specific, what God has to say for specific details of your life. And as you move in both of these areas, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, you will know Christ better. And you will also know his hope, his glorious riches. That is incomparably great power. That power that worked to raise Christ from the dead will be made manifest in those who move in the spirit of wisdom and revelation.